All right, it's 11:13. It's the world's most dangerous midday show without the Norm today. He'll be back tomorrow. He's having a pretty cool honor bestowed upon him this afternoon, probably right about now, as a matter of fact. And he'll tell us all about it tomorrow. But I do have Sean Bass in the big chair. We have Sod. We have DJ. We have a big strong chair, of course. And in the studio right now, today is the 51st birthday of one Tupac Shakur. He was killed in 1996. And the album that he put out right after his death was the Don Caluminati album, The 7 Day Theory. Iconic. If you ask any Tupac fan to rank their albums, top albums, All Eyes on Me and the Don Caluminati are probably one and two in everybody's eyes. And the cover of that is so iconic. So at Heritage Auctions, they are auctioning off the artwork to the cover of that album. And we have the artist in studio right now in front of us. And that's Risky. Risky Forever. Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing fine. First and foremost, I want to thank you guys for allowing me to be on your platform. I really appreciate it.
The honor is all on this side of the table.
No doubt. Man. No doubt. Man. I was telling you during the break before we came on, man, I turned 50 last year. I'll be 51 in August. And this is just my wheelhouse, man. Right in college, right when I got out, when rap was real. Yeah. That's what I say now, but
I say the same
thing. Oh, thank you. Okay, cool.
You're not alone.
So it's just when you have iconic pieces like this one, and it's something that I didn't even think about. Like when you see the album and you see the cover, and you go, okay, well, that's interesting. It's something I've never seen before, mm-hmm. but you don't even wrap it around your head how iconic it is, I guess, until time passes by.
Right.
And just to see this being auctioned off now, and then now reading some of your backstory and how it came about, man, it is really cool to see how this came about. But I wanted to ask you this, because when we talk to different athletes, I ask them, you know, you probably knew that you were one of the best athletes around, and you knew exactly when you could take that to that next level. But I felt that art is kind of a different thing, mm-hmm. because you knew you had some talent. And right. everyone around you knew you had the talent. But right. when you were growing up, where did you think that talent would take you?
I didn't think it would take me nowhere past laying on the living room floor drawing in my notebook. You know what I mean?
Right.
I never really expected to see my art go to the places that it's gone now today.
And everybody knows you from, you know, Death Row Records. You worked there. You did this great piece, a number of great pieces. How do you get hooked into that? I've heard you in interviews before, and you've met Suge Knight, but that's probably a lot easier said than actually done.
I mean, I grew up in the same neighborhood Suge did. You know what I mean? So everybody kind of knew about me from the artwork, because like when people would pass away in my neighborhood, you know, everybody would come to me for me to paint airbrush T-shirts. You know what I mean? With rest in peace shirts, it's like stuff like that. So, you know, I was kind of like widespread, and then it didn't help that I was kind of popular in high school for my art too. So I was kind of well known.
How do you start airbrushing? You see it sometimes like at a craft show or a bazaar or whatever. But how do you get linked into that?
You know what? The Compton Swap Meet was like our everything coming from Compton. You know what I mean? So it was a friend of mine named Cliff. So now he's like that person that I look up to. So it was a friend of mine. His name was Cliff. He was an airbrush artist. So he used to airbrush all the time in the Compton Swap Meet. Me being young, I would pass by and see that. And I was fascinated by, you know, me being an artist. And at that time I was doing graffiti. So I always wanted to figure out, plus I knew he was making money, so I wanted to figure out how to do that. And one of the people from my graffiti crew, his name was Phase One. He kind of had a little bit more than all of us, you know, coming from the streets. His family kind of pushed him a little more, so he had got an airbrush. Okay. So he invited everybody from the crew to go over to his house to practice on the airbrush. At that time, it was double action. You feel me? That was the best one, because they had the single action where you just just paint everywhere.
Yeah.
But then they had the double action where you had a little bit more control. So FaZe invited us all over. So we were all going back and forth on his airbrush. So out of all of us, I was the one that, you know, picked it up a little bit more, and I kind of stuck to it. You know what I mean?
And with the rap music coming out of Compton, it was so glorified. And from being from Texas, just seeing, you know, how it was always talked about in music. And now you're just dead in the middle of it. So did it change everyone's mindset as far as it being glorified on music and movies and all that? Like, how was it actually growing up where you grew up?
I mean, I was always, you know, even though I grew up on the West Coast, I grew up in Compton, California, I always was like universal on my music. You know what I mean? I listened to the West Coast. I would listen to the East Coast. I would listen to some of everybody. You know what I mean? So I grew up like that. And a lot of my friends, we all loved hip hop. We would get together. You know what I mean? We would listen to different records and we would do stuff together. You know what I mean? So it kind of basically influenced everybody that I was around growing up. So me just growing up into it, I think what made me really more so wanting to get into my talent is when I first saw B Street and I saw Ramo. You know what I mean? When I saw Ramo, you know, people don't really look at it like fictional characters can really change your life. You know what I mean? When I saw Ramo paint, that changed my whole entire outlook on everything. I just wanted to be like Ramo my whole career. You know what I mean? I wanted to be as great as him. No, I didn't want to die chasing spit, but I just wanted to be well known like him. So that changed my whole outlook on art once I saw that.
And what, as far as you wanting to, okay, this is what I want to do. I saw that. This is what I'm aspiring for. And then was there one particular meeting? Was there a process involved as far as you getting to be able to do this this album cover?
You know what, it was basically a call from Suge Knight.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I came in, you know, I had already worked on the insert for the All Eyes on Me album as a painter, so my boy Hen Dog, rest in peace, he wasn't available to do the job, so it came from came from Suge, you know, the idea. So I had less than 2 hours to put this idea together, which everybody was telling me was crazy before I even had the opportunity to actually do it. But, you know, it's not crazy until you're working on that. You know what I mean? So I took it. You know, I had found a couple of pictures of some stuff that I can kind of relate to that I could just throw it together. So I just made a mock-up piece. We had to meet at Gladstone's in Malibu that night. And I hooked up. I showed it to Suge. And he was like, yo, good. You know, I like it. Get to work on it. Maybe like a couple of days later is when I finally met up with Pac. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So this piece of Tupac that's up for auction right now, it's going to go for six figures in the auction, and it's iconic. I mean, back in the day, I used to see people with T-shirts with your art on it. I thought that, you know, that's got to be a cool feeling to know that that's transcended culture and hip-hop.
I mean, it definitely is. You know what I mean? To be able to look at things from the 90s and see them now, seeing people be more appreciative then, because what I like to say is I was caught in a time loop. You know what I'm saying? Back then, we didn't have no Instagram. Mm-hmm. We didn't have Twitter. We didn't have Facebook. We didn't have cameras you holding your hand all day. Because if I did, I probably have one of the most poppin'est Instagrams around. You know what I mean? Then. So I don't really feel like I really had that opportunity for people to really understand, you know, who I was. But everybody already knew the art. You know what I mean? So it's different now because people get an actual chance to meet the person behind that, if so to speak, you know what I mean? Because I never really got that, what is that, fame, credit, or none of that for being the person behind some of those most iconic classics now.
But that's the life of an artist. My dad's a sculptor, and he still sculpts, and he's sold some pieces throughout the years, and he's known for a couple of them. I mean, some are out in front of buildings and whatnot, but he's got a whole bunch of stuff that's never been sold that will never be sold. Mm-hmm. I'm curious about your collection of your work that you just have at the ready if somebody wants to buy it. And I'm guessing something like this, of this piece going for auction, is going to help, you know, sell some more pieces that you just have lying around.
I mean, yes, that's exactly what I like to do. I hope, and you know, I'm praying that this will help spark my career all over again. Well, I'm pretty sure it was, because I'm working with a good team of people, you know what I mean, that'll, you know, be able to assist me on going to the next level. So I'm just looking forward to all of that. But I have a lot of stuff laying around.
Okay, Risky Forever, the artist for the Don Caluminati album from Tupac, the album released right after his death. You said you had 2 hours to put this together. And you talk to other artists, maybe music or whatever, and the most popular thing they have is the one they probably like the least. So as you're putting this together, and if I'm pretty sure you felt rushed, when you presented it to Tupac, how were you feeling at that moment when you presented? Were you feeling pretty good about what you had? Did you like it at first? Did you go, I don't know? How did all that come about?
The whole process was, I don't know.
Right.
But you know what? I felt confident after I had met with him, and it wasn't no longer on a sheet of paper. It wasn't nothing that I had folded up 4 times and stuck it in my back pocket and was walking around with it. You know what I mean? I had presented to him in canvas and it was done. And just the excitement on his face is what made me like, oh, yeah, I did my job.
Right,
you know what
right.
I mean? So, yeah.
Yeah, that had to be quite satisfying. I mean, it's that nervous of, okay, this is what I have. Again, you have the kind of brain, all right, this is what we want. I put it together. And now as soon as the relief happens, when you saw the excitement in his eyes, right?
Yeah, the relief happened. I just felt like, you know, I felt like on pins and needles at first, but you know, it wasn't because I wasn't confident in my job. It was just like I was sitting right there with him at the end after he explained everything to me, and I knew everything had to, you know, pop for him. You know what I mean? So that's what was kind of had me on the pins and needles. But once I saw when he first looked at it, I kind of got that confidence. Like, oh, I can sit back on your couch now.
I'm good. Don't worry about that. Now, had you heard the album before that? What was some of the inspiration as far as only the conversations that you had? Is that the inspiration or was there more?
I mean, I had heard some of the album before, but I mean, most of the inspiration just came from him explaining to me what he wanted. Okay. I mean, at that time when I heard the album, I couldn't even relate the album to the artwork. If you can get what I'm saying, I just didn't get a creative spark. Even though I was a Tupac fan, I didn't have a creative spark to know how I was going to actually do this yet. You know what I mean? But once I got that idea from Suge, and then he came and closed it in and kind of gave me everything that I needed to, you know, that I needed to be able to work with to put it together.
So this is such an iconic piece. Do you feel like after this was put out, have other artists tried to maybe copy your aesthetic?
Man, I didn't.
I mean, it kind of feels that way.
The thing I really say about that is, man, pay homage to the creator. You know what I'm saying? I've seen numerous amounts of people, you know, try to go out and copy that. You know what I mean? And try to do something to that. But my whole thing is just pay homage. You know what I mean? Because I feel like I'm one of the most underrated artists when it comes to hip hop, because I see everybody else that came from that time, they up there on that high pedestal. But I feel like I'm the one that's kind of lingering on right now because people didn't get to understand who I was and get to know me.
It's Risky Forever in studio with us for a few more minutes. Besides this album cover, are there any others under your belt that you, not as iconic as this, of course, but what other work have you done?
I mean, I've done Nate Dogg G-Funk Classics. I did Death Row's Greatest Hits. I did Death Row's Christmas Album. I did Daz Dillinger's Retaliation, Revenge, and Get Back. I mean, along with, like I said, the insert for the All Eyes on Me. I did Dom Kennedy's Rap and Roll album. And I mean, that's just to mention a few album cover art. But I mean, I done worked with a few celebrities on clothing, paintings, all types of other odd things. You know what I mean? Not really odd things, but different things.
And yeah, and if you grew up around listening to that music around that era like I did, and I think a lot of people get the picture painted of Suge as a pretty rough guy, but like you said, he called you and he was pretty much the one that put you on. So I guess you have a pretty different perspective that is, I guess, known from everyone else for him.
Yes, I do have a really different perspective. You know what I'm saying? I'm just gonna say, you know, he looked out for a lot of people. He brought a lot. He gave a lot of people different opportunities to be able to get out there and get into a whole new different industry that may not have had that opportunity before. You know what I'm saying? He paved the way for a lot of us to, I say, lead the streets and enter into the industry. So yeah, I always thank him for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no doubt.
It feels like society is kind of trying to get up to speed with the whole NFT game. Like, what's your take on this, I guess, new branch of able to create content and art?
I mean, to me, it's a good thing because I look at it like, I mean, it's kind of disappointing, you know what I'm saying? When you, like for me, I had to kick back on posting my artwork on Instagram, you know what I mean? Because I had people that would take my art, you know what I'm saying, copy it and make flyers out of it, and then had a nerd to tag you in it. It's like, bruh.
that's mine, right.
Like,
right.
Bruh, this is how I eat, you know right. what I'm saying? Like, you know, a lot of people like to look at artists like we got laid back gigs, but no, it takes a lot to be able to create. When you're under pressure, you cannot create, you know what I'm saying? So to get back to what you're saying, when I see the NFTs and I see that people are able to get paid on a digital platform and be able to share it, and that artist is able to still get royalties from that, I think that's a good thing. Instead of somebody just, you know, copying your artwork from Instagram and they just sharing it a million to a thousand times and people reproducing it and doing it, and you can't get anything in return from it. You know what I mean?
And correct me if I'm wrong, there's NFTs that go with the current the Machiavelli piece, right?
Yes. There's one NFT that goes with this painting. So whoever purchased this painting, they'll get that one-on-one NFT. But there's actually, what, 125, I believe? 125 other NFTs that are out there, you know what I'm saying, that are already sold. So if anybody's trying to cop or trade or do any of that, you might want to get with the collectors, you know what I mean?
So you're from Compton. What brings you to Texas?
Lifestyle change. You know what I'm saying? When you grow up and you see some of the same things every day, You know what I'm saying? You look for a different change. You look for a different outlet. And this is just me after I stayed in New York for like 3 years. You know what I'm saying? Back and forth being bi-coastal. You know, I met somebody that was, you know, she caught my heart, you know, and at that time I had just came back from New York. I came back to Compton and I was just tired of seeing the same things, the exact same things, same people doing the same things. And then everybody feeling like, you know what I'm saying? You trying to get ahead. That's lingering or hurting somebody else. You know what I'm saying? So I just felt like, you know, after I saw what happened to Nipsey, I just kind of felt like, hey, look, man, it's kind of like time to do something different. You know what I'm saying? So I came out here for a lifestyle change. And since I've been out here besides COVID, I mean, Dallas is like a real cool place. I really like it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm here. You feel me? People be like, you coming back to L.A.? And I'd be like, for what? You know what I'm saying? Besides my mom and them being there, I really don't see nothing else for me. Like, I did. Been there, done that. You know what I'm saying? How they say that? Been there, done that.
Right.
So life is, especially at my age, it's about experiencing different things. You know what I'm saying? So I'm out here just to experience something else. You know what I'm saying? Something different. And with all this going on, I'm thankful that I'm being welcome right now.
How do you hope to impact the art scene in Dallas-Fort Worth?
Man, I really don't know how to impact this art scene, but I just hope that people will be willing to work with me. Cause, you know, I went out on the art scene and I met a couple of people and they make it seem like it's like standing on the corner selling rocks. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, you can't be over here. Like this person already had this territory and this person had, I'm like, damn, bro. Like how you supposed to get in? You know, I mean, I even had somebody tell me, you know what I'm saying? That Dallas only looks out for people in Dallas. I'm like, no, bro, that's your story. You know what I'm saying? But I just feel like I'm able to get out here and be able to express myself and people will just accept me. You know what I mean? I'm no different from anybody else. I just got a different slang. You know what I mean?
Well, man, we really, really appreciate the time here today. It's a pleasure to meet you. Hopefully we can hook up again. If you have something going, just let us know and we'll definitely have you back.
You're right up the road.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Definitely right up the road. Thank you. I really appreciate it. You know what I'm saying? I'm pretty sure, you know, my boy Brad over there. Thanks for Brad and my sister Nicole for coming out. I'm pretty sure you stay in contact with Brad. We'll be hooking up.
No doubt. Let's do that. Awesome. This definitely is Risky Forever, the artist for the Don Caluminati, the 7 Day Theory album. Tupac would have turned 51 today. And like Sean was telling me before we got on the show, Risky, you haven't spun that album in a long time. So last night you just put it on and you realized that thing is as iconic as it gets. And that artwork at the front of it is as iconic as it gets.
You don't skip ahead on tracks.
No, you don't. You don't. And it's awesome, man. It's very nice to meet you.
It's a pleasure to meet you guys also.
We'll be hooking up with you again soon. Let's do the Sports Car Wash. We'll do it next here on The Ticket.